Hare Krishna. Very pleasant for me to be here in all of your association, and of course the association of Kiraj. His association is very soothing. And in the material world, there is such a great need for being soothed, because the very nature of the material world is agitating and crushing. So here in Giriraj's presence, we become soothed, and then in soothed consciousness, we can move forward towards the lotus feet of our worshipable lords. How I'd like to begin each day is with a short writing exercise. Very, very, very simple. Just write. That's the basic idea. Because when one starts writing in the presence, especially in the presence of Giriraj, one's thoughts miraculously come out one's pen, and sometimes our writing erupts into a great desire or a prayer. So this simple exercise, we just ask the devotees to write. You can write in any language you wish, and it's private what you write, and there's no collecting of what's been written. But at the end, I'm going to ask you to underline what you consider the most significant or deepest sentence that you've written. And then we'll ask a few devotees if they would like to read those sentences. But it's not required. So it's as private as you like. And the only real rule in this writing is just keep writing for the entire 10 minutes and don't stop. And even if you don't know what to write, just keep writing anyway and something will come. So without too much more explanation, just start writing now. And if you need a pen or a notebook, is Prashanta Mataji here, or the pens and notebooks here, extra ones? By the mercy of Giriraj, pens and notebooks manifest. Okay, start writing. 10 minutes. Where is it from? That means 10 minutes of writing are over. Now just underline any sentence that you wrote that you think is most meaningful to you or most deep. Your most deepest thought or most meaningful thought to you. And then we'll ask a few devotees if they would like to share those with the other devotees. Okay, very good. But you have to say it very loudly. Here at the feet of Govardhan, I experience a lot of calmness and peace.
I never felt like that before in my life.
Anyone else like to read something? Yes, boom. Every day is a festival in Krishna consciousness. Wonderful. Anyone else like to read something? Very good. Thank you. Last one. Anyone else? Adi?
We are dying at every moment. It is within our freedom to choose which part will die. The eternal necessity of spirit or the temporary superfluous dross.
Thank you. On that note of free choice, and our dependence on Giriraj and Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and of course Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyama Sundar, we shall attempt to begin this amazing chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is Antilila, Chapter 1. Om Ganatiminandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Sumilitan Jaina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah.
Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Vansha Kapa Chubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pabanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo. Yesterday, I read the first 9 verses, or 8 verses, of this chapter, which evoked auspiciousness. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj evoked auspiciousness with some wonderful verses that we are quite familiar with. Jaya tam sarato pangor mama manda matea giti matsava shapadam bojo radha madana mohano divya vrinda nanya kaupadu madha srimad ratna gara singha sanasto srimad radha sri lagovinda devo prastilevyo sevi manos manami and srimad rasarasarambi Mamsivatata stita, Karshan Venur Sreya Gopi, Gopinata Sye Stuna. And then Kaviraj Goswami offered his humble obeisances and glorified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. So he glorified Mahaprabhu and Nittai. And glorified Advaita Chandra, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, and all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In text 9 he says, I have briefly described the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Madhya Leela, because this is the beginning of the final pastimes, Antya Leela. And at the end, in the final chapter of Madhya Leela, he's summarized everything that he has described, which are basically Mahaprabhu's 6 years of traveling after taking sannyas. Now, he says, I shall attempt to describe something about Mahaprabhu's last pastimes, which are known as Antya-lila, or his ending pastimes. I have briefly described the Antya-lila in codes. Codes means sutras, means very in a short form within Madhya Leela. So that is the first things that Kaviraj Goswami has done in Madhya Leela. He has described in brief in these sutras the entirety of the Antya Leela, and he's given his reasons for doing so at the beginning of Madhya Leela, describing the final pastimes as his old age, and not knowing whether he was going to live to complete his service of describing, especially describing, the final pastimes, the Antya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He continues, I am now almost invalid due to old age, and I know that any moment I may die. Now, of course, none of us may die at any moment. That's too heavy a thought to carry around with us. But of course, we do know the reality that no one has a guarantee of living any number of years. There is actually an urgency in our life. And there is a choice in our life. And that choice is basically whether we wish to take our steps closer to Krishna or continue in our material existence. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami says, I have already described some portion of the Antya Leela earlier in the first 2 chapters of Madhya Leela. Prabhupada's purport to this is quite heavy. Following in the footsteps of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, I am trying to translate the Bhagavata literatures as quickly as possible. However, knowing myself to be an old man, and when Prabhupada wrote this, he was 70, it was in 1974, so he was 78. However, knowing myself to be an old man and almost an invalid because of rheumatism, I have already translated the essence of all literatures, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as a summary study in English. That's what we call the Krishna book, the Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead book. And Prabhupada translated that and had it published in 1970. And he personally came to Japan during 1970 to speak to Dainapan, the company that printed the Krishna book, about printing other books. And he was elderly then, and still more elderly when he wrote this. I started the Krishna consciousness movement at the age of 70, and now I am 78. And so, my death is imminent. I'm trying to finish the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam as soon as possible. But before finishing it, I have given my readers the book Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that if I die before finishing the whole task, they may enjoy this book, which is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, to bring us to the smiling face of Lord Krishna, to bring us especially to Vrindavan, which are the most confidential pastimes of Krishna and the sweetest pastimes of Krishna. But notice how Prabhupada didn't neglect the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam. Rather, he painstakingly translated those so we would have the proper foundation and purity and the proper conceptualizations to be able to enter in to the mysterious pastimes of Krishna in Braja. So Prabhupada has said this here. Text 12. In accordance, this is Kaviraj Goswami speaking, in accordance with the codes previously written, I shall describe in detail whatever I have not mentioned about Antyalila, the final pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now he's going to begin. And this section, 13 to 33, is text 13 to 33, 21 verses or so, is the first thing that he's going to describe about Antyalila. Now again, Antyalila, the final pastimes of Mahaprabhu, as I mentioned yesterday, is divided into 2 parts by Kaviraj Goswami. The first part is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing directly his devotees or having his devotees instruct others. And of course, in both cases, we the readers are being instructed. And then in the final part of Antyalila, in chapters 14 through 19, the 20th chapter, the final chapter of Antyalila, is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami, describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam, which includes the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And the only words directly written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything is in these 8 verses, everything. From the beginnings of instructions to the most intimate confidential instructions. And that is what is described in the 20th chapter. So the 14th through the 19th describe in a wonderful way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deepest ecstasies, his own internal reason for descending, which were to experience the mood of Srimati Radharani and the depth and the bliss and the rasa and the qualities that she's experiencing in Krishna. Radha Krishna Panaya Ladini Shakti Azmad. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are Krishna and his internal energies. So Kaviraj Goswami is leading us to what he really wants to say ultimately, and perhaps the essential difference between Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita was this, that Krishnadas Kaviraj has given us in describing these final ecstasies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how is he going to lead us there to the proper understanding of what they are in Antyalila? And how is he going to begin? What first step, what first instruction is he going to give us that's going to be our first instruction if we want to enter into the most deep and most mysterious pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Please listen. Because we'll just start a little bit back further again. At the end of Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his 6 years of traveling, first going down to South India and then trying to go to Vrindavan. His South Indian tour was a preaching tour. And then he tried to go to Vrindavan externally, but actually he went to Ramakeli and captured Rupa and Sanatan and gave them missions. Missions that were his missions. He wanted them to be instrumental. He had purposes for them of service. So he specifically went to Ramakeli, and that pastime is such a sweet and wonderful pastime where Mahaprabhu remained in internal consciousness, not externally conscious, for days and just chanting and chanting and chanting in so much ecstasy that Nawab Hussein Shah understood that he was the Supreme Lord. And finally, he met Rupin Sanatan, and that was the first meeting. And there were different devotees there. Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda Datta, other devotees were there. And then he he gave them their mission in brief. And then Mahaprabhu returned through Bengal, and some say he actually went through Assam and spent a month in Assam. Some say that. And then he returned to Puri and stayed for perhaps 2 years. And then the devotees could not bear for him to leave. They loved him so much. Love in this world, practically speaking, doesn't truly exist in a pure form. But the devotees had pure love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they could not tolerate him leaving again, because he had just gone for 5 years and then went to Ramakeli. And then he came back and he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And it's so interesting because when we think of love, we think of taking the object of our love and putting the object of our love, the vishaya, the object of our love, his happiness or her happiness is more important by definition than our own happiness. So Mahaprabhu wanted to leave and go to Vrindavan. So if we think of it technically by the definition of Krishnendriya Priti, satisfying the Lord as what love is, naturally the devotees would have said, "Oh my dear Lord, we do not want you to leave, but for your happiness, you please go." But that's not at all what they did. They said, "Yes, yes, yes, you should go, but Kal, you should go. Not today. You just wait till it's a little cold in Vrindavan. The winter is coming. So just wait till after the winter passes. Then you can go, and it will be so nice for you there. The weather will be nice." And then when the winter passed, they said, "It's so close to Holi festival. Just wait till after the Holi festival has passed, and then you can go." And then the next was, how could you leave when Rath Yatra is just a few months away? So in this way, the devotees kept Mahaprabhu with them. And I've wondered about this. Is this some selfishness? Is this love, or what kind of manifestation of love is it? And my conclusion about this was that they weren't theoretical at all. They were just so spontaneously in love with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They weren't thinking, well, I should think what love is, and then I should act according to love. They couldn't control themselves. They couldn't tolerate Mahaprabhu leaving. Their attachment and affection for him was so great. That was what was dictating their actions. Even the king was involved in this, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy. And after 2 years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally said, enough, enough, I'm going. And then they all went, oh, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are completely independent in your desires, who can stop you if you want to go? And then Mahaprabhu actually left. He left, just taking Balabhadra Bhattacharya with him. And when he went through the Jarikanda forest, his ecstasy was so great. The tigers were dancing and chanting, the lions or the elephants, and all living entities were embracing, the deer were embracing. This is described in Madhya Lila. And then, because Mahaprabhu, before going to Vrindavan, just the sound of the words Vrindavan would unsettle his consciousness and cause him ecstasy. So when he got to Vrindavan and he wandered around here, just in these very places where we sit right now, Mahaprabhu was walking. His lotus feet touched here. And he embraced Giriraj. But he would not step upon Giriraj. And the devotees of Mahaprabhu, the followers, similarly do not step on Giriraj. But his ecstasy was so great that Balabhadra Bhattacharya and the other devotees who were with him decided he would go into the Yamuna, he would jump into the Yamuna in such ecstasy that he did not swim. So the devotees, fearful for him, for his life, they moved him away from Vrindavan. And then when he was in Prayag, Rupa Goswami, who had escaped his government service at that time, arrived, and Mahaprabhu instructed him. And then he told Rupa, you go. This was the first instructive meeting with Rupa Goswami. You go to Vrindavan. Then Mahaprabhu continued to Benares, and Sanatana Goswami met him there. He instructed Sanatana Goswami and said, you go to Vrindavan. You go to Vrindavan. There are wonderful things I want to do, and I will see you later. And Mahaprabhu, going back, he then left to go back to Jagannath Puri. And of course, the devotees who were with him, they wanted to go with him, and Mahaprabhu said no. So when Mahaprabhu is coming back to Jagannath Puri, the devotees in Jagannath Puri, and we see this in Krishna's Leela, and we see this in Mahaprabhu's Leela, that when the devotees left Mahaprabhu in Benares, they were all crying and crying and crying. And the devotees in Puri, they had been crying for so long. And then when they heard that Mahaprabhu was coming, they became ecstatic. So there is always an exchange. Who is crying today and who is crying tomorrow and who is happy today? So it goes back and forth. So Mahaprabhu is just arriving. Rupa Goswami went to Benares to find Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu had already left, and he went to Bengal with his brother Anupam, and then he is going to come to Jagannath Puri. But first, now text 14. Upon hearing the news, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri from Vrindavan, Srup Damodara Goswami immediately sent news of the Lord's arrival to the devotees in Bengal. Upon hearing this news, Mother Sachi and all the other devotees of Nabadweep were very joyful, and they all departed together for Nilachal, Jagannath Puri. So all the Bengali devotees now, as soon as they heard that Mahaprabhu was coming, they immediately left for Puri. Thus all the devotees of Kulinagram and Srikanda, as well as Adwaitacharya, came together to meet Sivananda Sen, who would always arrange their journeying. He knew the paths. Sivananda Sen arranged for the journey. He maintained everyone and provided residential quarters. They walked. How many days did it take? Approximately 3 weeks? 21 days or so? So I often find myself mentioning this point. If we come by plane, it's so efficient. We arrive in less than 24 hours, and then maybe 3 days later our mind arrives. First the body, then the mind. But when we take the slow walking method, we're thinking continuously, oh, I'm going to see Lord Jagannath, I will see Mahaprabhu. The mind arrives 2 weeks before the body. And then when you are there, you are really there. All there, because you're just meditating on it continuously. Instead, we come by plane, and we're cramped up like cattle in the cattle car, and we can't move. And now they're so kind; they put videos right in front of your eyes with a choice of 20, 30, 50, 70 varieties of Maya that can absorb your mind and keep you from thinking of where you're going. 600. This is the gift of Maya, unlimited distractions. Really, this is Icha Dvesha Samutena. This one I like, this one I don't like, this one I like, this one I don't like, this person I like, this one I don't like. Pushing, pulling, until the day we die. And then Radha Krishna Nabaji. So, while going to Jagannath Puri, Sivananda Sen, now here, lesson begins. Sivananda Sen, and this is the introduction to Antya Lila, to Mahaprabhu's final pastimes. Again, what is this first instruction going to be other than the creation of auspiciousness? Because in this inauspicious material world, we need to create an auspicious atmosphere around us, an atmosphere that is full of auspicious, holy things. If we expect to walk off the plane after watching 600 channels of video and walk into Vrindavan, something auspicious, it will take some time before the auspicious atmosphere makes our consciousness auspicious. So what is the auspicious first instruction after the auspiciousness is created by glorifying the Lord? What first instruction and advice are we going to be given so that we can advance properly? And it's quite surprising. While going to Jagannath Puri, Sivananda Sen allowed a dog to go with him. He supplied it food to eat and he maintained it. One day, when they needed to cross a river, an Orissan boatman would not allow the dog to get in the boat. Now, if we wonder why the Orissan boatman would not allow the dog to get in the boat, we should go out and see some of the dogs that are around. They're not like the most groomed kings and queens of the house that you find with the dogs in the West, but they're mangy beasts, and they always have unlimited fleas, and they're bitten, and this and that. and they have so many parasites. It's so unhealthy to have a dog around, and they love you so much. They lick you with their wonderful tongues that they've just eaten who knows what. And Prabhupada said that the reason why they are smelling you and licking you to see if you're still alive, to find out if you're their next meal. But anyway, somehow or another, this dog joined the party of going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Orison boatman would not allow the dog to get in the boat. Shivananda Sen was unhappy that the dog had to stay behind. And he paid the boatman 10 panas of conchel, extra money, to take the dog across the river. And the dog crossed the river. And then, one day, they traveled for many days, while Shivananda was detained by a tollman because there were toll roads you had to pay, his servant forgot to give the dog his cooked rice. Because Shivananda Sen, somehow or another, inexplicably, there is no reason for it, he decided to accept this dog as a member of his party. And he would feed it every day. He paid extra money to get this dog across the river. But when he was engaged in paying the tolls, the servant who was instructed to feed the dog forgot, and he didn't give him his cooked rice. At night, when Shivananda Sen returned and was taking his meal, he inquired from the servant, "Has the dog been fed?" And when he learned the dog had not been supplied food in his absence, he was very unhappy. And he immediately sent 10 men to find the dog. When the men returned without success, they couldn't find the dog who had left because he was hungry, who had left because he wasn't fed. Shivananda Sen became very unhappy. So unhappy that he fasted. He wouldn't eat. He fasted for the entire night. So somehow or another, Shivananda Sen became attached to this dog. A devotee became attached to a lowly creature somehow or another, and had accepted him as a member of his party. In the morning, they looked for the dog. So Shivananda Sen didn't forget. But he could not be found anywhere. And all the Vaishnavas were astonished. I'll read a little of Prabhupada's purport. There is no harm in taking birth again and again. Our only desire should be to take birth under the care of a Vaishnava. Fortunately, Prabhupada said, we had the opportunity to be born of a Vaishnava father who took care of us very nicely. He prayed to Srimati Radharani that in the future we would become a servant of the eternal consort of Sri Krishna. He prayed, this is what Prabhupada is saying, the prayer of his Vaishnava father, that he become a servant of Srimati Radharani. And then Prabhupada says, thus, somehow or another, we are now engaged in that service, the service of Srimati Radharani. And here is the conclusion that Prabhupada underlines here. We may conclude that even as dogs, we must take shelter of a Vaishnava. the benefit will be the same as that which accrues to an advanced devotee under a Vaishnava's care. We must take shelter of a Vaishnava. We must be accepted within the party of a Vaishnava. And the results of that, even if we are, even if we are a dog, a mangy, flea-ridden, bad-habited dog who will eat anything, who is cruel, especially to other dogs. Oh, you see this, how territorial the dogs in Vrindavan, you really see it. And you see, if one dog decides to walk through the territory of some other dog, then that dog, whose territory it is, he barks until all the dogs in the neighborhood come, and then they rip apart that intruder dog. You have to be a very brave dog indeed to wander out of your own territory in Vrindavan. Despite all the bad qualities of even a dog, even despite that, if somehow or another he can attract the affection and attachment of a Vaishnava, let's hear what happens. Thus, in great anxiety, the dog had left. They all walked to Jagannath Puri. They continued. They couldn't find the dog. Sivananda Sen had fasted. He had sent out 10 men the next day. But they couldn't find him. And they continued their walking to Jagannath Puri, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met them, as usual. Means at Narendra Sarova. He stopped at Ataranala. He told Sarup Damodar to go and inform the devotees, and let's meet at Narendra Sarova. And the devotees came to Narendra Sarova, and they saw Mahaprabhu, and then they all went to see Jagannath, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went with them to see the Lord in the temple. And on that day, he also took lunch in the company of all those devotees. As previously, the Lord provided them with all residential quarters. And the next morning, all the devotees came to see the Lord. Excuse me, when Mahaprabhu came, that's what happened. This is the devotees coming when Mahaprabhu was there. And then, the next morning, all the devotees came to see the Lord. They had just arrived the day before. They had rested. They took prasadam with them. And then, Asya dekira sabe se ta kukur. They came, and Dekila, they saw, somebody, everyone saw Seta Kukur. They saw that very same dog, Prabhu Pashe, who was near the Lord. Vaseyache, he was sitting near the Lord, Kichu Alpadure, a little bit away from the Lord. Furthermore, the dog was sitting there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was throwing remnants of green coconut pulp to the Lord. Some dab, the inside, the coconut. And he was throwing it to the dog. And he was saying to the dog, he was smiling at the dog and saying, chant the holy names of Rama, of Krishna, of Hari. And seeing the dog eating the green coconut pulp and chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Again and again. Dekhiya lokera, all the devotees saw this. Mane hoila, in their minds, chamakar. They were astonished. They were filled with wonder. They were very much surprised. Sivananda Sen also saw. And when he saw the dog sitting in that way, chanting the name of Krishna, Sivananda, because of his natural humility, immediately offered his obeisances to the dog. Why? just to counteract his offenses to it. He was thinking himself, this dog, I've accepted him, and then I didn't feed him, and he ran away, but he saw the dog in such an incredible position. And the next day, and here is the final verse, the next day, no one saw that dog, for it had obtained his spiritual body, and he had departed for Vaikuntha, the spiritual kingdom. First lesson is that regardless of who we are, we're here in the material world. Regardless of what we are, our good and our bad, the first step is this. We have to become the dog of a Vaishnava. We have to find ourselves somehow or another in a situation where a Vaishnava becomes pleased with us. He accepts us. And he decides to call us his own. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he's talking about the essential point of surrender, Gotripte varanam tata, accepting the Lord as your soul maintainer. This is how he sings. I won't, maybe, Varaman, you can play the harmonium. I'll just read the English. I'll just read the first verse. I'll read the Bangla of the first verse. Sarvasva tuma charane sampiya. Hode che tomara gare tumito takor tomara kukur bolia janaho more. Now that I have surrendered all that I possess unto your lotus feet, I throw myself down before your house. O Lord, you are the master of the house. Kindly consider me your own dog. Chaining me nearby, you will maintain me, and I shall lie at your doorstep. I will not allow your enemies to enter, but I will keep them outside the bounds of the surrounding moat. And whatever food remnants your devotees leave behind after honoring your prasad, that will be my daily sustenance. And I will feast on those remnants with great bliss while sitting up or lying down. I will constantly meditate upon your lotus feet. And whenever you call, I will immediately run to you and dance in great rapture, happiness. I will never think for my own nourishment. I will remain absorbed in ever-cherishing love for my master. Bhaktivinoda now accepts you, O Lord, as his only maintainer. This is so sweet. It is so wonderful. When we hear the song, and when we think, oh, these devotees are so surrendered, but when it comes to the thought of placing me in the care and the dependence of someone else, and that person is able to do with us as he likes, feed us his remnants, some prasadam or not, then the romantic sweetness of it fades away and it becomes a terrifying thought. We hear the wonderfully sweet story of how Narada Muni asked the Lord, who is your greatest devotee? And the Lord answered, who? The gopis. Why are the gopis the greatest devotees? You'll see. Go around to my devotees
and say to them, "Oh, your Lord has a headache, and there is one thing that will cure him, and that is the dust from his devotees' feet."
First, Narada Muni went to one group of devotees, and Brahman is the Lord. "How are you? How is the Lord?" "Oh, he's not doing very well. He has a headache." "Oh, no. What will satisfy him? What will cure him?" "The dust from his devotees' feet." "I'm going to give the dust..." You know, what will be the reaction? This is how Sanatana Goswami was feeling in Antya Lila chapter 4 that we read last year, that we spoke of a little yesterday. That look at... this is the most terrible thing. That my feet, dust on the Lord's head? No, what an offense. What an offense that would be. Another devotee Narada visits. Pure soul. "I cannot give the dust of my feet. How terrible that would be. I'm so fallen. I'm so lowly. What an offense." And finally, Narada Muni goes to the Braja Gopikas. "How is your Lord? He has a headache. What is the cure? The dust of the devotee's feet. Would you give some of the dust of your feet, from your feet, the dirt from your feet, and he'll place it upon his head?" And the gopis say, "Yes, immediately, immediately. It will remove some of his distress." "Well," Narada says, "aren't you afraid of going to hell? You know the weather in hell is very hot. No AC. It's hot, you get eaten by rakshasas or whatever, you get crushed. How sweet it sounds, how wonderful the gopis are. They're ready to go to hell to remove distress from their Lord. They're ready to do anything, their own suffering. How sweet it sounds. They do it in a second. How difficult it is when it comes to me. How romantically beautiful and sweet it is that the gopis are like this. Here is the first lesson in Antya Lila. If you want to be, to accept what Mahaprabhu was giving us, this very, very unnat ujara rasam sabhaktim siyam. And this is going to come up later in the later lessons on the path of Sri Rupa. The later lessons. Here's the first lesson. We have to surrender completely. To be there. And that surrender on that level doesn't happen, boom, all at once. Because we can do that in one sense, with a great sentiment. "Yes, oh, Vaishnava Thakur, everything is yours, boom." But without the advancement, when the going gets rough and the temperature goes up, tap means heat, it means austerity. When deeper surrender than we have the capacity to perform comes, we're asked to do something we don't like, or it's very, very difficult, then boom, we go back the other way, lock the door, don't want to chant or whatever, and start preaching very strongly about vanashrama and the slow process of advancement, which is required. But sentiment is not sufficient in this. What is sufficient is depth. Depth of what? Depth of bhakti. If we want to be in Braja, we have to become Krishnas. And Krishnas means Krishnas, those who are with Krishna, Krishna's devotees. So step one, become a dog of the Vaishnava. Surrender. Lesson one.
But it continues. Such are the transcendental pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi. He even delivered a dog simply by inducing it to chant the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna. And how did the dog, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy followed Sivananda Sen's mercy, how did the dog get there? By the mercy of Sivananda Sen. Now, text 34 to text 61. Meanwhile, now the pastime opens up. The rest of Antyalila is beginning. Meanwhile, following the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Rupa Goswami returned to Vrindavan. He desired to write dramas concerning the pastimes of Lord Krishna. In Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami began to write a drama. In particular, he composed the introductory verses to invoke good fortune, the Nandi Sloka and Mangala Archana. So the introductory verse is called the Nandi Sloka. The Prabhupada explains these things in the purport, but we'll go a little quickly. So that's what he did in Vrindavan. He composed what came to be two dramas. First he wanted to write one drama about Krishna, but it became two. How did it become two? On his way to Gaudadesh, Rupa Goswami had been thinking of how to write the action of the drama. Thus he had made some notes, and he had begun to write. In this way, the two brothers, Rupa and Anupam, reached Bengal. But when they arrived there, Anupam died. Ganga prapti hoila, he achieved the Ganga. He had passed away. Rupa Goswami then departed. So Rupa Goswami had gone from Benares. First he was in Allahabad, Prayag. Then he went to Benares. Then he went to Bengal to tend to some business. And then Anupam died there, and then he left for Jagannath Puri. Rupa Goswami then departed to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for he was very eager to see him. There was some delay because of the death of Anupam, and therefore, when Rupa Goswami went to Bengal to see the devotees there, because the devotees were in Bengal, so Rupa Goswami went from Ramakeli to Nadia, but the devotees had already left. So when Rupa Goswami got there, he could not get in touch with them because they had already left. But he had already conceived in his mind this drama. So when he arrived in Orissa, there's a place known as Satyabhamapur near Cuttack, and Srila Rupa Goswami rested for a night in that village on his way to Jagannath Puri. While resting in Satyabhamapur, he dreamed that a celestially beautiful woman had come before him and very mercifully gave him the following order. Write a separate drama about me, she said. By my mercy, this is in Satyabhamapur, by my mercy, it will be extraordinary, extraordinarily beautiful. And after having that dream, Srila Rupa Goswami considered, it is the order of Satyabhama that I write a separate drama, and he doesn't say, Prabhupada doesn't translate it, about her. Because this is the mood of a Vaishnava when they write or do any service. It is for the pleasure of their superior, for the Lord or one of the devotees. Rupa Goswami's thoughts continue. I have brought together in one work all the pastimes performed by Lord Krishna in Vrindavan and in Dwarka. Now I shall have to divide them into two dramas because of the order of Satyabhama. Thus absorbed in thought about what? This drama, which means the thought of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, and now the pastimes of Krishna and Dwarka as well. Thinking, the consciousness fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness and Krishna katha, thinking that soon I'm going to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has just arrived in Puri, thinking like this continuously. His pilgrimage, his visit is going to be completely successful. So thus absorbed in thoughts, he quickly reached Jagannath Puri. And when he arrived, he approached the hut of Haridas Thakur. Out of affection, love and mercy, Haridas Thakur told Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already informed me that you would come here. And after seeing the Upala Bhog ceremony in the Jagannath temple, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly come to see Haridas every day. Thus, he suddenly, soon as Rupa Goswami arrived, to see at the Siddhabakul area, to see Haridas Thakur, where he would be staying. Both Rupa and Sanatan stayed with Haridas Thakur. Then, Mahaprabhu arrived. When the Lord arrived, Rupa Goswami immediately offered his obeisances. And Haridas informed the Lord, this is Rupa Goswami who is offering his obeisances to you. And the Lord embraced him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then sat down with Haridas and Rupa Goswami. They inquired from one another about auspicious news and then continued to talk together for some time. Very interesting. They inquired about auspicious news, not all the bad things that were happening all over the world, so we can fill our consciousness with all grumya katha and all the bad gossip that goes around. They wanted to keep always. Remember, Sivananda Sen and the dog, step one. But there is great changing in consciousness that has to be done. We have to make our consciousness the path. The path that we are taught is a path of Krishna consciousness, making our consciousness attuned and appropriate to be in Braja. If we think we can go without proper consciousness, we will always remain external. External, always external, on the surface, like the proverbial bee who is outside the jar of honey, thinking that the honey tastes like glass. There is a great shifting of consciousness, a purifying of consciousness that must take place for us to be in Braja. In this chapter, Rupa Goswami is going to describe the goal, but he's also going to describe the path to get there. Or the chapter is describing that. So if we expect, and this was the instruction that Mahaprabhu gave Raghunath Das Goswami, Gramya Katana Shunibe, don't hear it. Don't listen to it. Don't allow it. Because as Maharaj mentioned, the path of kritikchita, the path of hearing, yad yad diyatad, urugaya vabhavayanti tam tam pranayeshi saranugrahaya, by Krishna's mercy, he will actually, in the form that we worship him, Lord Brahma describes, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, in the way, in the mood, in the consciousness, with the desires that we worship him according to our hearing, he will enter our heart and take up residence in our heart according to how we hear. So we should be very careful what we let enter our ears, because that is the prime pathway, highway, into our consciousness, the chitta, the heart. So they inquired about auspicious news. Then they continued to talk together for some time. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired about Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami replied, I did not meet him because they went by different roads to Vrindavan, and Rupa came quickly while Sanatan was going a different way, and when Sanatan got there, Rupa Goswami had already left. I came by the path on the bank of the Ganga, where Sanatan Goswami came by the public road, therefore we did not meet. So as we hear about the path of Sri Rupa, please see if there are any hints that are suitable for you and write them down and try to see if you would like to take them with you when our time here is over. In Prayag, Rupa continues, I had heard that he had already gone to Vrindavan, and Rupa Goswami next informed the Lord about the death of Anupam. Now, Mahaprabhu's reaction to the death of Anupam, he hears it now. We don't hear about it here. But later, he explains this to Sanatana Goswami in the fourth chapter of Antilila. He talks about Sanatana Goswami's fixedness, his fixedness, non-waveringness in his shelter in Lord Ram. And he glorifies that nishta, that fixedness. Another hint on the path. So after allocating residential quarters there to Rupa Goswami at Siddhabakur with Thakur Haridas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. Then all of the Lord's personal associates met Srila Rupa Goswami. Now, another thing that is so wonderful about Mahaprabhu's Leela is the dealings between the devotees. Please note how the devotees deal. So they met Rupa Goswami. On the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again met Srila Rupa Goswami, because every day he would go and see Thakur Haridas after visiting Jagannath. And every day, it already... Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami already said it, but what did he do every day? Did anyone? Yes. They would always give him some Mahaprasadam, and he would bring that for Haridas. So on the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again met Rupa Goswami, and with great mercy, the Lord introduced him to all the devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami, now how did he react? Rupa Goswami and Sanatan, they were the chief officers, prime minister and secretary of treasury of the rulers of Bengal, including not Orissa at this time, but big men. So Mahaprabhu introduced Rupa to the devotees, and of course Vaishnava etiquette is that there were devotees like Nityananda Dvaita. You don't introduce the junior. You don't say to the seniors, here is the one in the superior position. That's not Vaishnava etiquette. It's the other way around. Even common etiquette isn't like that. The junior, this is the senior, the superior. That is proper etiquette. And also, as we're talking about those things, I was listening to a lecture of Radha Govinda Maharaj, and he pointed out that it is not proper etiquette for the disciple to say Hari Bol to his Guru Maharaj, because that's an order. So for the Westerners who aren't familiar as much with the language, that's a command. That's the imperative form of the word Hari Bol. We say Hare Krishna, something like that. We don't order our spiritual master or the senior Vaishnavas or anyone to chant in that way. Just a little matter of etiquette that I picked up. And it's funny, because I would do those kind of things all the time, and then when you hear it from someone who has some culture, then it becomes so obvious. It's become so obvious how many mistakes and aparads and offenses we continuously commit without even knowing it, and therefore Prabhupada, he used to have the devotees every morning when they greet each other, and we say Vansha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu with seriousness, please forgive me for all my offenses that I may have committed knowingly or unknowingly, because this is what we do. And Srila Jiva Goswami clearly says that the reason we don't get the results, the proper results from our chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is this aparad, its offenses. So he says, Rupa Goswami then, Mahaprabhu said, introduced the devotees. Rupa Goswami, this is this one, this one, this one. And Rupa Goswami offered his respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of them all. He didn't say, he wasn't thinking, well, this one's how many days before is he initiated? How many like this? He was, we'll hear about this a little later, one of the main elements on the path of Rupa is humility. We'll see his incredible example. And here is the beginning, the first example of it. He offered his respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of them all, and all the devotees, by their mercy, embraced him. Here are the devotees that were there, some of them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retold the Dvaitacharya at Nityananda Prabhu, you should both show your mercy wholeheartedly to Rupa Goswami. And he gives a reason. Toma duhara kripate ihara. I hope there are no Bengali police around here because I'll be arrested for murder of the Bengali language. Taeche Shakti, by the mercy of both of you, Nityananda and Adwaita, Rupa Goswami will get so much Shakti because this is the ultimate part of the path. It's going to be mercy. We have to do our part. And this is, we have to do our part. We have to work. We have to do our parisrama. We have to do our work. But that is necessary but insufficient. We are ultimately fully dependent upon the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. So he says of Nityananda Prabhu, of Adwaita Prabhu. So he says, Mahaprabhu says, yate vivarate parena krishna rasa bhakti, that by your mercy, he will become parena, he will become able to describe krishna rasa bhakti, krishna rasita, krishna bhakti rasita bhavato mati. This is Krishna consciousness. To describe it, one has to experience it. Try to describe something you haven't experienced. And someone who has experienced it will clearly see that this person is bluffing. Describe what you have experienced, what you know intimately, and you'll do it well. So this is the hint. And Mahaprabhu was perhaps already told Rupa Goswami something of what he wants him to do, but he's going to tell him later at the end of this chapter, I want to do something through you. And this is the desire of a devotee, that the Lord, his spiritual master, his own spiritual master, the devotees, that we can become instrumental, that they will do something through us. And this consciousness, this namitta karam bhavya savya sachin, Krishna tells Arjuna, of you can become the intermediary cause. I will do my work through you. This, doing this is the happiness of a devotee. And he never, never, a devotee who is fixed, who is a devotee, he never moves a step outside of the consciousness of being an instrument. Because he knows. I mean, if we think about it, if we accept the version of the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads that we are 1/10,000th the tip of a head of a hair in size, I mean, that's very, very small. And all day long, I'm thinking that I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. I've done very well at that. I've done poorly at this. Both sides of the mind's interactions, trying to taste it, the false ego. I'm so bad at doing these things and everyone knows how bad I am, and all day long thinking about in my neurotic
mentality, thinking about how bad I am, or in my prideful mentality, false ego driven, both of them. Oh, how good I am, how wonderful I am. I've done this better than this one, and this one can't do this, but this one can do that, and I can't do that. I'm so bad, I'm so good. And he's so bad, and she's so bad, and I'm so good, and I'm so bad, and she's so good, and he's so good. This is what it's like. Good thing, I find myself saying this often too, good thing there's no loudspeaker connected from my mind to the outside world. They would lock me up very quickly. We need mercy. We need, mercy means Krishna Shakti. So that's what Mahaprabhu is saying. Vivartite parena Krishna ras. You will, by your mercy, you will get, Rupa Goswami will get the power to describe bhakti ras, to enter into and describe. May Rupa Goswami, by your mercy, become so powerful that he will be able to describe the transcendental mellows of devotional service. So again, the path of Rupa Goswami is the path of gaining mercy. Gaining mercy. So look always for hints. Look for hints that we can apply to our own life. And thus, Rupa Goswami became the object of love and affection for all the devotees of the Lord. They all loved him. No competition with Rupa Goswami. He is the greatest, but he thought of himself as the lowest. And we'll talk about this a little later in a little more detail. So he became the... How nice it would be if we were the object of love and affection and mercy and kindness for all the devotees. What a meditation. How can I act in such a way that the devotees will bestow their mercy on me, their kindness, and pray for me? How can I act in such a way that the devotees will think I am a suitable object of mercy? And clearly, if I have great pride, what need do I have of mercy? What need do I have of charity if I'm so wonderful already? He became the object of love and affection for all the devotees of the Lord, including those who came from Bengal and those who resided in Orissa, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Bhaktagan. Gaudiya Adhiya Yatta Prabhura Bhaktagan, Sabara Hoila Rupa, Snehara Bhajan. They gave him their affection. Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will go to see Rupa Goswami, and whatever prasad he received from the temple, he would deliver to Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. So I'll just again remind us of the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Whatever food remnants your devotees leave behind after honoring your prasad will be my daily sustenance. I will feast on those remnants in great bliss. So I'm going to become the dog of a Vaishnava, and then this doubt is in my consciousness. If I really become a servant of Prabhupada, who will take care of me? Who is going to take care of me? So please, let us watch who is taking the trouble to personally feed him the remnants of Lord Jagannath, the most, and later on in Antyalila, we hear what Mahaprabhu does, how his sense of taste is so completely spiritual that what he tastes, the Adha Amrita, the nectar from the lips of his Lord, how ecstatic he becomes. So when one has something that is of great value, that is valuable to himself,
There's a kind of charity that Prabhupada described it in a story, like when you're walking down the road, you're carrying something, some food for yourself, and then you trip, and the food goes into the air, and it's going to fall all over the place. All the rice that you have cooked for yourself is going to fall over the place. And while it's in the air, you quickly say, Govinda Bhog. You've lost it anyway, something useless for you, so please, now you can accept this offering. So that's... But on the other hand, when you have something that you deeply value and love, and you offer it to someone, then that offering has such... It's imbued with your own affection in addition to the value of the offering itself. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved Jagannath Prasadam, Mahaprasadam. And every day what he was given, that is what he offered to Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami, who felt themselves niche, very, very low, so low that they wouldn't, and humble, they wouldn't enter the temple. So Mahaprabhu came himself. He would deliver that to Rupa Goswami and Thakur Haridas. He would talk for some time with them both and then leave to perform his noontime duties. In this way, Lord Chaitanya's dealings with them continued every day. Thus receiving the transcendental favor of the Lord, Srila Rupa Goswami felt unlimited pleasure. Think of that, what that means, unlimited pleasure. It's something very good to consider. Unlimited pleasure through his relationship with his Lord, through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, there's a short section over here, just 1, 2, 3, 4 verses, but I will expand it because something very similar is described previously in Madhya Lila. Please listen to these 4 verses. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now this is coming to the Rathiatra festival. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking all his devotees with him, what did Mahaprabhu do right before with his devotees? What did he do with his devotees right before the Rathiatra festival every year? Cleansing of Gundicha temple. So he performed the Gundicha marginum. He went to the garden near Gundicha temple, which is known as Aitota, and he accepted prasad at a picnic with the devotees within the garden. When Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw that all the devotees were accepting prasad and chanting the holy name of Hari, I should say that they didn't sit with the other devotees. I'll say it a little later. I'll read it. They didn't sit with the devotees. The devotees were chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and they were taking Jagannath Prasadam. And Haridas and Rupa, Sri Rupa, were sitting apart from them. And when they saw this and heard this, they both were very pleased. They weren't unhappy at all. This topic comes up tomorrow, or maybe today some. They were greatly pleased. They were greatly pleased to see the happiness of the devotees, the other devotees, sitting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking prasad and chanting the holy names of the Lord. They were happy, they were pleased, they were not envious. There's something in me, this little nasty little fellow inside, that when I see others happy and pleased, I become secretly very displeased and very unhappy. And then when I hear oh, this terrible thing has happened to this devotee, I think, and outside I say, oh, so sad, oh, I'm so unhappy to hear that. And inside, he deserved worse after what he said to me that one time 30 years ago. Now, finally, he's understanding something, maybe. This nasty creature inside, which is known as false ego, has to be removed for me to be in Braja. I cannot go. Both of us cannot go. One has to be left behind. And he wants me to be left behind, unfortunately. Live in the realm, the kingdom of false ego forever, and you'll be happy. So, Rupa and Haridas were happy, greatly pleased. Harshita, man, in their minds, they were happy. And then, Govinda Dwara, such a sweet way of saying it too. Prabhur Shesha Prasada Paila. After he finished, when his prasadam was Shesha, was finished, through the gate of Govinda. So it was Govinda was going to give the prasadam to Haridas, but he was just the gate for Mahaprabhu. Prema Mate, when they got the remnants, Govinda took the remnants of Mahaprabhu and gave it to Rupa and Haridas after the Gundicha Marjanam. Prema Mate Dvijana, with great ecstatic madness of ecstasy and prema, they began to dance when they got this prasadam of Mahaprabhu's remnants. They respected it, and they began to both dance in ecstasy. There's an expansion of this, more detailed explanation in Madhya Lila. Rupa Goswami isn't mentioned here, but Haridas Thakur is. So it's basically the same. In the garden, because they would do this every year before Rath Yatra, in the garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with the other devotees. Vaninath Roy then came and brought all kinds of Mahaprasad. This is after the cleansing of Gundicha. Both Kazi Misra and Tulasi, the superintendent of the temple, brought as much prasadam as 500 men could eat. And seeing the large quantity of prasad, which consisted of rice, cakes, sweet rice, a variety of vegetables, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Amongst the devotees present with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Advaita Charja, Nityananda Prabhu, Acharya Ratna, Acharya Nidhi, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, Shankar, Nandana Charja, Raghava Pandit, Vakeshwar Pandit. They were all present. And receiving the permission of the Lord, Savaboma Bhattacharya sat down. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his devotees sat on raised wooden seats. In this way, all the devotees sat down to take their lunch prasadam in lines, in rows, next to each other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so all the devotees were sitting, ready to take prasadam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started calling out, Haridas, 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 because he wasn't there. And Rupa Goswami, same situation. And Haridas, standing at a distance, he wouldn't sit with the devotees. He spoke as follows. Haridas said, let me just read the Bengali. Bhakta Sange, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhakta Sange Prabhu, in the association of devotees, Mahaprabhu sat down. Karuna Prasad Angikar, and he began to accept the prasadam of Jagannath. A Sange, this is what Haridas Thakur is saying, A Sange Vasite, in this group, to sit down. Yogya nahi mune char. I am not suitable. I am not, it is not befitting for me to sit within this group of devotees. And the word he says is nahi muni char. Char, Prabhupada translate here, is most abominable. I looked it up also in the dictionary. Here's more meanings of this word char. This is how Haridas Thakur, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur, who Mahaprabhu was calling, he doesn't want to take prasadam without Haridas. He's missing Haridas. And Haridas is saying, nahi, no, I am charred. And this is what char means, abominable, but it means the dictionary. It means like ashes, contemptible, rubbish, garbage, a contemptible person, base, unfortunate, ill-starred, which means that his astrological chart was terrible and only bad things happened to him. Ruined, downfallen. This is what Haridas said about himself. How is this possible? How is Haridas Thakur experiencing this about himself? I can't understand it. Is there some great fault in him that we don't know about, that only he knows about? But he chants 24 hours a day, practically speaking. That's not possible. Is there some imaginary fault that he's imagining, that he's so bad? I don't see how that's possible. Is there something that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna put in his heart, his pure heart, that's as clean as the shiniest piece of gold, the shiniest mirror, because he does nothing but chant the holy names of the Lord? Is there something that Krishna has put in his heart to make him feel so abominable and low? Somehow or another, Haridas feels this way. I can't understand it. So, the dictionary definition of humility: having or showing a low estimation of one's own importance. This is exactly the opposite of what we're taught. If you want to be successful in this world and don't understand deeply what's being described here, this will ruin everything. There's a secret in here, how to be successful and still humble, but we'll speak about that in a few moments. But this is the dictionary. This is what Haridas is thinking. This is Trinada Bisunetsena. This is the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Deferential, giving respect to others, amanina manadena, of lowly rank or condition, modest, without pretension, no pretense, no faking, no bluffing. Very meek. Why? Let me just read how important humility is. Unfortunately, I couldn't find a very short segment of a lecture by Prabhupada. I couldn't find the recording of it. It's so nice to hear Prabhupada's own words. But he's lecturing on the process of knowledge, amani tvam madambi tvam ahimsa chantyam arjavam. And he quotes Trinadapi Sunitsena. And then he says, Prabhupada says, and this is in Bombay in 1973, anyone, is this humility, this humbleness and humility, is it taught everywhere? Without being gentle, humble, how can one be a man of knowledge? But at the present moment, humility is forgotten Everyone is proud unnecessarily. Although he's nothing, he's proud. So much so that a rascal says, I am God. And I once saw a book that said, I will teach you. If you learn these three words, all success will be yours. A book, a fairly popular book, self-help. It's actually a self-destruction book. So, of course, I skipped to the end to see what the three magic words were. If you have these three words, all success will come to you. And, of course, it was this. I am God. I mean, not that Bhurijan. But they said, if you learn this, everything will come. This is Kali Yuga. Such arrogance. I'm suffering at every moment. My body is cringing and crinkling and becoming wrinkled before my eyes. And I'm thinking that I'm God? In control of all of existence? So much so, a rascal sometimes says, I am God. This is modern civilization. And this indeed is modern civilization. The enhancement, a civilization that teaches us to enhance our false ego, our sense of importance, our sense of the whole universe depends on me, that I'm the center of things. He's so puffed up, so proud that one claims to be God. What to speak of other things? No. The first thing is that one must be very humble. That is the process of Vedic civilization. Vidyavinaya sampane brahmani. One has to become Brahman. A Brahman means Vidyavinaya sampane. He must be learned. He must be humble. That is Brahman. That is first class life. Why is Brahman honored in society? Because Brahmana means Vidyavinaya sampane and very humble. He has knowledge and he is humble. He is deferential. He is meek. Vidya means he must be gentle. Very gentle. That is vidya. Education does not mean unnecessarily to become proud. Just like we hear that even a great scientist, Sir Isaac Newton, he used to say, what knowledge I have got. I have simply collected a few grains of sand from the big beach. Yes, that is humbleness. So Krishna says that in the process of acquiring knowledge, one must be very humble and meek. This is the first qualification. Therefore, Prabhupada says, one has to learn humility, otherwise one cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness. There is one little story that I heard and I'm very fond of saying it, so if you've heard it already, at least it's short, that they approach, some disciples approach a sadhu, and he's speaking, and he says, when they bring me to Yamaraj, they will call up my record. They will type in my name and call up my record from the great database, and they will say, on this date, in this place, you did this and this and this. And then I will say, but there was a reason for that. How could I have acted otherwise? This happened and that happened and this person said this to me and I was poor and this reason and that reason. And he said, okay. Then Yamaraj will say, but how about this case? You did this, this, and this. But there was a reason for that too. There was a reason this person had happened. It was raining that day. I was cold. I was in a bad mood. And this happened and that happened. And one by one, as they tell me all the things that I have done in my life, I will have my excuses. But then he will turn to me and say, you know yourself better than anyone knows you. Why are you so proud? And the sadhu says, and for this, when he says that, I will have no reply.
I will only have to put my head down and be silent. We have to become humble. And in one sense, if we think about it, it should be the easiest thing in the world to do, because we know ourselves better than anyone else knows us. So Krishna kindly... Anyway, we'll talk about a little bit on how to develop humility. But we should know that life is meant to teach us this lesson. So the prime way to develop humility is stay alive, because life will teach us humility. From Brihad Bhagavatamrita, how important dainya or humility is. A few verses only. Loving devotional service is far different from disciplines such as karma, jnana, and yoga. At every stage, it is decorated by its indifference to karma, jnana, and yoga. And its root, loving devotional service, bhakti, its root is dainya, utter, complete humility. When one allows secondary means, the things we use to help us, and goals to become prominent, one deviates from bhakti. The most essential support that a candidate for pure devotional service, pure bhakti, must always take help from is utter, complete humility, dainya. Wise men define dainya as the state in which one always thinks oneself exceptionally incapable and low, even when one is endowed with all excellences. Commentary. Narada's own definition of dainya distinguishes his use of the word from other possible meanings, such as poverty, becoming selfless by not accepting charity, and being free from egotism. Someone might say that the quality of thinking oneself very fallen may also be seen in persons who are simply lazy, or those who abandon auspicious work, or those who indulge in sinful acts. They may also think themselves very, very bad. Therefore, Narada specifically says that one who actually has dainya, or humility, is endowed with all good qualities. For instance, such a person observes positive and negative regulations, nam niyam. He is free of false ego, and he is a, and this is very interesting, and it will come up tomorrow. He has a healthy fear of material life. And being afraid of materialistic life and of the envy and the greed and etc. that live in the heart, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we'll hear his full comment tomorrow, is essential for purification of the heart. We have to be afraid for these things, like foreign invaders coming into our heart and taking over. We have to fear this. He is free from false ego, which is the essence. And he has a healthy fear of material life as opposed to an unhealthy fear. Furthermore, although Narada doesn't say so, transcendental dainya is a state of extreme agitation, and the positive side comes in here, that can lead to tears and other ecstatic outbreaks, because half of dainya is feeling oneself incapable by oneself, but the other half is taking shelter of one's master with great devotion and faith and love. Saranagati leading to prema. That's the other half of humility. Dainya or humility doesn't mean all day long thinking about how bad I am, because who am I thinking about all day long? Me
And how is that humble to always be thinking about yourself all day long? It's just a trick of false ego. But dānya means to be taking shelter, feeling oneself individually incapable, but always continuously and fully taking shelter of one's Lord and Master with great faith and devotion. Please listen to this. Very interesting. Brihad Bhagavatamrita. An intelligent person should carefully cultivate speech, behavior, and thinking, whatever words, acts, and thoughts that fix him in utter humility, and anything that stands in the way of that should be avoided. Dānya, at its most exalted form, comes when prem, pure love of God, reaches full maturity, as it did in the women of Gokul, when they were separated from Krishna. They, the Braja Gopis, are the most humble. They have nothing other than Krishna. Please listen to this comment. Ordinary dānya, can be developed by human effort. But there is also a type of dānya, of humility, beyond the mundane, that comes from receiving the Supreme Lord's favor. That means the mixture of understanding the truth, understanding and accepting the truth of my own insignificance. Just think, I'm so important, I'm the center of the universe, but somehow or another, 100 years from now, no one will even know that I existed. What illusion! But not neurotic, thinking, oh, how dangerous it is, and becoming fearful, and always thinking of myself. But transcendental dānya means taking shelter of Krishna when we come in contact with reality. And this is unarguable reality. We are tiny and insignificant. If we think we are great, and we are the center of the universe, try to convince everyone else in the universe to cooperate with us. That's how we find out. That's what material life is meant to do. So this comes, the ability to surrender, comes from the Lord's favor, to take shelter of the Lord. The word two in this verse contrasts these two different distinct types of dānya. Almost everyone in the material world is separated from Krishna, but most people never experience dānya, humility, both halves of it, the surrender, the missing Krishna, the separation from Krishna, the turning towards Krishna with the attempt but still not being able to see him, that makes us dependent upon his mercy, making the attempt 1,000 times to actually become a devotee, to become the servant of a Vaishnava, and failing miserably 1,000 times, knowing that we are separate from Krishna, and yet trying again very humbly, dependently, begging, needing mercy. This dānya is powerful. The other false humility is mundane. It has nothing to do with Krishna. So this dānya people don't experience because they have no prema. Love and being separated from one's beloved. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was said, why are you crying? He said, no, I don't have any love for Krishna. If I had love for Krishna, how would I still be alive? Therefore, these people, because they don't have true dānya, can never become free from suffering, and they can never attain true happiness. To achieve transcendental dānya, one must learn to love Krishna in the mood felt by the gopis, led by Sri Radha, when Krishna left them to go to Mathura. So this is very, 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 this is the topmost platform. We can understand from the example of the gopis' varaha bhav, their feelings of love and separation, that this special dainya arises only when by Sri Krishna's exceptional mercy, a devotee who has realized Krishna's sweetness develops extraordinary prema in his heart in the mood of separation. As prema appears in degrees of excellence, so does dainya. So he's defined the topmost platform of humility. On the topmost platform of love, so dainya goes up to that topmost platform. When dainya fully matures, and here's the last verse, prema unfolds without limit. And so we see dainya and prema acting in a relationship in which each is both cause and effect. And the commentary explains, dainya is not altogether different from prema. It is a component of prema, and both nourish each other. So from the topmost stage or the lowest stage, when some taking shelter of Krishna, some turning to Krishna is there, to the topmost stage, they nourish each other, humility and love. That's the end. Do you remember when we were in Jagannath Puri, you said there were three causes of that dainya specifically? The first cause is
Hare Krishna. There are three causes of dainya. The first cause is you understand what actually a trouble. You're not in the ideal situation of your life. You're in a troublesome position. The second cause is Krishna, something I don't remember at the moment. And the third cause is you have committed offense, and you are aware of that. Mm. And this awareness that you have committed an offense makes you extremely humble. For instance, you can imagine, I'm Bahyamukha, I've turned away from Krishna. Our relationship has broken, and the only one I can make responsible is myself. Krishna has no fault in this. So, two sources. If I remember the third Purujan, I will tell you confidentially. You're in trouble, you have to see that. Oh, yeah, an unfulfilled longing makes you humble. You think that I can't reach this. And I think you were talking about this a moment ago, when you want to turn to Krishna, yet you see yourself so utterly limited and unfulfilled.
So key in that, thank you very much. Key in that is the Krishna part, the turning to Krishna. There is no dainya without turning to Krishna. And it can come into a feeling contradiction that I'm so incapable, I'm so worthless, I can't do anything. How can I chant my rounds? How can I do some service? I'm only 1/10,000th the tip of a hair in size. Someone on a morning walk in Paris, 1974, Paramhamsa says to Prabhupada, although a devotee feels helpless in the hands of Krishna, still, in order to execute his duty, he must be very strong. Prabhupada, yes. How does he reconcile these two? How could I be strong and feel myself helpless? And of course the answer is, I'm in the hands of Krishna and let Krishna work through me. It's not me who's doing it, kartaham. Not me who is the karta, the doer. But let Krishna, the prayer, the sincere prayer and desire, here is my service. Let me be an instrument of Krishna, of my Guru Maharaj, of the Vaishnavas, for their pleasure. They want this done. Let me keep my consciousness in such a way that I will be an efficiently used by them. And so Paramahansa said, how can one reconcile these two, feeling oneself insignificant and yet doing something, some heavy, strong, powerful service? Prabhupada said, he must work for Krishna, first thing. He is not doing anything for himself. As soon as I take my percentage, either 99% or half of 1%, there is that I want something out of it for me, there's going to be a problem. In other words, there is a lack of purity. He's doing for Krishna. For Krishna's sake, one can take any kind of risk, just like the karmis. They take any kind of risk for earning some money. Similarly, bhaktas also will take any kind of risk to satisfy Krishna. Guru Krishna. Yasya prasada, bhagava prasada. So how to develop humility, because we're seeing it in the path of Rupa. I mean, to surrender unto a Vaishnava, understanding one's own incapacity, that is so difficult in and of itself. So it requires great humility, and it is at the essence of the path. Let me just finish this little part from we got up to Govinda Dwara, that Haridas, thinking himself the dog of Mahaprabhu, he says, Govinda Dwara will give me prasad later, because Mahaprabhu is calling, Haridas, Haridas, and he says, I am charred, I cannot sit with these devotees, Bhakta Sangha, I am too abominable. Govinda will give me prasad later, outside the door. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, the dog, he doesn't demand to sit at the master's table. He's outside the door and he gets the master's kindness. So, please listen to this. Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not call him again. When I read this, I was so happy because I thought immediately, how can I get the Mahaprasad without actually becoming humble? I'll say, when they call me for Mahaprasad, I'll say, no, I'm too fallen. I can't sit with the other devotees. And then I'll get the Mahaprasad in that way. In other words, I'll become an expert imitator of humility, because the mind is so tricky. The mind will take everything that it's meant in Krishna's service and it will find the ability in the service of false ego to use it to entangle the soul further in false ego. How tricky is the crooked, wicked mind? So, of course, not only with Mahaprasadam, we learn, this is one of the arts we learn in Krishna consciousness. We learn first because we see humility, and then we know we're supposed to be humble, so we learn how to put a good imitation, put up a good fake. But that's not Haridas. Because Kaviraj Goswami doesn't say, hearing Haridas's words, Mahaprabhu didn't call him again. He said, understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu didn't call him again, because his mind was truly humble. So he didn't want to disturb that humility. So, Sarup Damodar Goswami, Jagannanda, Damodar Pandit, Kashishvara, Gopinath, Vaninath, and Shankara distributed prasad, and the devotees chanted the holy names at intervals. They were chanting as they were taking, and as we heard in the Antyalila verse, when Rupa Goswami and Haridas saw the devotees taking prasadam and chanting, they felt great happiness.
And then one little conclusion on this, very short. So after taking their prasadam, all the Vaishnavas stood up and chanted the holy names of Hari, and the resounding noise filled all the upper and lower planetary systems. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered flower garlands and sandalwood pulp to all his devoted personal associates. And Govinda saved some remnants of the food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he kept them carefully. Later, one portion of these remnants was delivered to Haridas Thakur. Do we trust, have enough faith, that through the gate of one Govinda or another, that Mahaprabhu, that Krishna, that the Supreme Lord will actually remember us enough to take care of us? This seemingly simple question is very, very heavy if you ask it to yourself privately. At least when I ask myself privately, and when no one else can hear what my answer really is, and very often the answer is, I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure whether he's really going to take care of me. So therefore, when I'm in that mood, I trust maybe not Krishna, but the most obvious person to trust, who never lets me down at all, my mind, who never gives me any trouble, who is always honest, always does what it says it's going to do, never flips and changes or anything like that. That becomes my alternative. I trust he who I know is the most untrustworthy, because I don't have the advancement in the faith to trust Krishna. So unfortunate I am. But instead of just simply, when I come to grips with my lack of advancement, instead of becoming humble at that point, which will be the gateway to more advancement, my mind can think of hundreds of excuses why I shouldn't turn to Krishna. It will get angry, it will just become disturbed, this will happen, it will take out its long list of so many things that happened in the past that prove that I'm perfectly justified in everything that I do, and I'll keep doing this to the day I die. And then janiya shunya bisha kainu, I will drink this poison continuously and not get the real purpose why I'm sitting here. Why I chant, why I read, why I try to do some service. So later, one portion of these remnants was delivered to Haridas Thakur. But this is also interesting, and this is the last verse from Madhulila we'll read. The remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were later distributed amongst devotees who begged for them. Okay, Haridas got his, but there's still more. And who was it given to? Who was it given to? Those who wanted it and were humble enough to beg for them. And finally, Govinda personally took the last remnant. So even he got fed too. Just when you're a distributor, it doesn't mean that you're going to starve. Don't worry, if we take up the service of distributing, In the Vedic culture, the distributors eat at the end, but now that's too hard for most of the distributors, so usually they eat first. So they don't, okay, don't worry, you've already had yours, now you can happily distribute to everyone else. So how to cultivate, develop humility? So I have a few, just a little points. These aren't the only points, but these are just my little thoughts on this. Go through life and follow the process. Try to be a devotee and see what happens. Try to be sincere. Try your best to be sincere. And from my experience,
rather than becoming sincere, you become aware of your own insincerity first. Like when you turn on the light in your room that you haven't cleaned for 6 months, before you see cleanliness, you have to see the dirt. So go through life and follow the process. Surrender. Try your best to surrender. And then try your best to serve selflessly and go through life. Desire service. Become increasingly fixed in one's desire for service, in one's offering. Just try to do something. Because what is the difference? This changing of from Bahirmukha back to Krishna to Sammukha, facing Krishna, is the process of putting Krishna, devotional service, the process of sadhana is putting Krishna in the center instead of the illusory sense of me being in the center. So that means doing some service, devotional service, some seva. So make up your mind to do something for the pleasure of Krishna, for Guru Vaishnava's Krishna. Do something, not thinking that what I'm going to get from it, but pleasing those who we really want to please. So become fixed in that. And think of that service as an offering for the pleasure of Krishna. Oh my Lord, Yata Pravatabhutram, this is, please accept this offering. Develop devotion, obviously. Panchanga Bhakti. We perform bhakti, the items of bhakti, and we advance. The whole process of devotional service up to the point of prema is this. And dependence. Become dependent. Consciously understand that we're dependent on Krishna's mercy. And with that humble dependence mixed with desire to make a devotional offering, feel that you're incapable of making that offering, go ahead and depend on Krishna anyway. Become used by Krishna. And advance, again, same point, advance in Krishna consciousness. Humility increases in proportion to one's advancement and one's prema. And Haridas Thakur, there's no accident that he's the Namacharya, and he's so humble, and Mahaprabhu's teaching of Trinada Bhisuni Chena, to take shelter of the holy names, we have to become humble. Okay, I'll stop here, and I'm already some minutes over. So we'll continue tomorrow. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Also, by the way, not in tomorrow's class. Tomorrow's class is, in some senses, similar to this class. Can be a little depressing. But the next class, on the third day, we'll talk about the compensatory, that which compensates for all our lack of ability and advancement. And that, of course, is mercy. Okay, Hare Krishna tomorrow. Hare Krishna. So Maharaj, what time will you begin class? Now it's 12 o'clock.
In half an hour.
Yes, so 12:30. It's 12:06 actually.
What?
It's 12:06. Would you like to begin at 12:35 or 12:30?
12:30.
Okay, so please come exactly on time at 12:30. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Nityananda Prabhu ki jai, Srila Rupa Goswami Haridas Thakur ki jai, Sivananda Sen ki jai, Sivananda Sen's dog ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.